keep thinking we have other things to bring to your attention. I know one other thing is that we are having men's society on Tuesday, and there's sheets in the back of church for those who want to keep up with our studies. We carry on in our studies out of Mark chapter 8, so just to keep that in mind too. Men's society's meeting on Tuesday. We're going to turn to God's Word now, and we're looking at Romans chapter 15 this morning as we carry on also in our series out of the Heidelberg Catechism and our trust in the Holy Spirit, our confession of God, and we understand Him as God in three persons, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We make the confession that we believe in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be taking a look at Lord's Day 20 out of the Heidelberg Catechism this morning after we read from the Word of God. It's found on page 27 in the back of the hymn book, question 53. We're going to answer that question together in a moment, but first we'll read from God's Word. Starting with verse 1 of Romans chapter 15, we'll read through to verse 13. Here's what God's Word says. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God's Word, for which we're grateful that we could read it for our encouragement and our endurance unto hope in Christ today. I'd like us to take a moment to read from Lord's Day 20. If you'd like to, please answer the question that's found there in question 53. This is on page 27, and the question asks, what do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, he, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. Second, he has been given to me personally, so that, by true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. Thank you for that. Let's take a moment to ask God's blessing. We do want to ask, Heavenly Father, that the blessing of your word would be upon us. We hear in this portion of your spirit-breathed word that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And in that encouragement and endurance, be bonded together with you and with those who share faith with us by the blessing and power of your Holy Spirit. We would ask, God, that the hope of that Spirit may be upon us today. We know that without the power of the Spirit at work in our lives, we are without God. and without hope in this world. But we know that with him, as you have promised to both Jew and Gentile who find their rest in you, that there will also be hope in you. And so we ask that we would know that today and in all the days to which you've called us to serve you as members of Christ. Hear us, we ask, in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure that often for you, as is true for me, that you hear people say to you about how they can't imagine what their lives would be like and how they could face anything critical in their lives without faith. I know I hear it often. The reason we speak that way, of course, at least in part, is because we know that without faith, there isn't any hope. You know, we could all think of things that we would consider to some extent or another indispensable. We know that we need food and drink to live. Some of us in our modern day technology find that we might even say that we'd be lost without this or that electronic device or some kind of appliance. We can hardly imagine if we'd have to do laundry, as we would say, the old-fashioned way. What if we didn't have a doctor for certain ailments, certain procedures that years ago nobody could ever imagine doing? Now we can't hardly imagine being without it. But what if we were without God and without hope in the world? What would any of those other things that we would otherwise consider indispensable mean to us in the long run? When we confess the Holy Spirit and our trust in Him, it's an indispensable trust, because without that Spirit, we are truly without all things. Because without the Spirit, we're disconnected from Christ, the source of all blessing, and indeed the source of our hope. And it's for that reason that our passage speaks at the end, as it does, about the Holy Spirit as really the Spirit of hope, the hope that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of hope for who He is and for what He does. And we want to take a moment to meditate on His divine greatness and goodness this morning. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of hope because of His divine greatness. It's something we confess, that He, as well as the Father and the Son, is eternal God. The hope that He provides us, after all, isn't a vain hope. It's not a wish. It's not an uncertainty. Such hope could only be so, could only be so certain, could only be so alive, could only be so full if the Holy Spirit was with the Father and the Son, the true, eternal, sovereign God. Many times our idea of hope is more in the form of a wish with no certainty. I hope that I can go to my father's or my friend's house today. I wish I had five extra dollars in my pocket. I wish that I wouldn't get sick, or I wish I hadn't. You can either look at those wishes as things that might be, but you can never say they certainly will be, and you can't change those things that have occurred that way, that have occurred, because no matter what you'd wish for, it's just not possible. And it's that way because we're not supreme and we're not sovereign over everything like only God is. But the hope that we have from the Spirit and in the Spirit is totally different. It's a hope that is 100% certain, even though its object is that which we have yet to receive. Who hopes for that which they already have? But the Holy Spirit, in His power enables us to know that hope, and he assures us of that for which we hope. That's the love that the Spirit has and the powerful love that he's able to provide as the third person of the Trinity. And in that regard, we see the personal communion that we have with him. He's not just some impersonal force. He's not simply some expression of the Father or the Spirit or of the Son, I should say. He personally works his divine power in the lives of his own. He proceeds from the Father and the Son who send him as a comforter for his people. And in that way, he's distinguished from them, but he's equal to them in divine greatness. If he weren't, then the hope of which our passage speaks and the hope that he would give would be no better than the wishes of our lives, filled with uncertainty. Because it is when we are without God that we are without the living hope, the certain hope that is indispensable for life. What's attributed to the divine can therefore be attributed to him as divine, because he is. Regarding creation, it's the Spirit of God who makes life to abound. Regarding the Word of God, particularly when we hear, like we do in our passage this morning, that the Scriptures give hope, and we hear that the Spirit gives hope, we see that it's the Spirit who breathes the Word of God into inspirational being. The Word of God is the Word of Christ, is the Word of the Spirit then. And while Christ accomplishes redemption as the divine Son of God sent by the Father, it's the Spirit of God who applies this redemption to the lives of his own. Scripture never speaks of the Spirit in any other way than as he who is with the Father and the Son, the one eternal God. It's not just the grace of the Lord Jesus that we need. It's not just the love of the Father that we are to cherish, but also the communion of the Spirit in order for us to be able to say that the Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our fortress. Only because the Spirit is great in this divine way, can we also speak of him as the Spirit of hope. But then indeed, we can speak of him as the Spirit of hope because everything that he does for us brings hope into our lives. We make the confession that he has been given to me personally so that by true faith, he makes me share in Christ and all his blessings, comforts me, and remains with me forever. Catechism speaks here about how the Spirit works faith in me so that I can confess Christ. He uses his word as a means to work that faith in us, as well as to encourage us in the hope of the gospel. If the Spirit were not at work in us so we could say Jesus is Lord, we'd never say it, not sincerely, not truthfully. We'd only say, in essence, that Jesus is cursed. Indeed, we know that if we are a people, or if you're a person who believes that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord, that means that God the Spirit is with you, and he's working with you, and he's consoling you. And if God is with us and for us that way, then who or what can be against us? You see how that hope breeds hope? Because the Spirit's moved you to confession, then you know the hope of everlasting life. But because the Spirit's with you, then you can also be encouraged to know that in the midst of those things that would otherwise seek to breed hopelessness in your life, the Spirit of hope will be there to see you through those trying times that way, to see you through so that you may endure like our passage says. Because he's more powerful than those hopeless things. The power of his hope is greater than the power of those things that would undo us. He is indeed more powerful than he in us than he who is in the world. The Spirit breeds hope. And he does that in many ways. He reminds us of all the many blessings that we have when we're connected to Christ. He himself is the very deposit of the eternal hope that you have in Christ when you make that profession of him. He's like the first down payment of the lavish riches that are to come, because he's made you a new creature already in Christ when you confess Christ. As you await the new heavens and the earth, he's a seal of God to you. His word is sufficient, as our passage reminds us, as a hope for you. They were written, after all, to encourage you in your faith, to encourage you in hope, and in your enduring love for God and for his people. But the Spirit works as a confirming seal, like somebody who's put his seal of authority upon your heart after he's written his document there, testifying to you that you belong to God eternally and that nothing will separate you from his love. The Spirit uses others to breed hope in you as well, and that's partly what you see in this passage. When we take the lessons of Spirit-breathed Scripture to heart, because that is, after all, partly what the apostle is doing with his people, the people of God here, then we will, among other things, seek to be a blessing to those who need our blessing, so that they can be encouraged in the faith, to bear with the failings of the weak, to please one's neighbor for good, to accept one another as Christ has accepted. This is part and parcel also of that which breeds hope in people's lives. This passage speaking to please others in the faith, to show forbearance to those who may not be as mature as we. These things are written so that in the process of things, we might seek to please others in a Christ-like way, who came, as our passage reminds us, to please others and not himself, so that we might have hope, who took on the reproaches that our passage speaks about. The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me, because Christ didn't please himself. And he did that. He went out to please others, to please his Father, so that we might have hope. Pleasing others encourages others. Encouraging others grants to them endurance. And endurance is a fruit of the hope of Christ that doesn't disappoint, the hope of God, the Spirit who empowers with hope. Associating hope with Scripture makes all the sense in the world, like our passage points out, when we see that the hope of the Scripture is the hope of the Spirit. The hope of the Spirit makes all the sense in the world when we understand that the hope of the Spirit isn't just that which points to eternity, but that the Spirit himself will be with us for eternity. We make that confession, after all. No wonder he is known as the Spirit of hope, even as we know our God in Jesus Christ is the God of hope. We make the confession that he'll be with us always, everlastingly. The Spirit then isn't just one who gives us hope. He is our hope. Without the Spirit, we wouldn't be alive physically. Without the Spirit, we wouldn't be quickened unto new life spiritually, so that we'd make the good confession of Jesus Christ. Without the Spirit, we wouldn't be able to live the sanctified life to which we've been called. having been renewed by the Spirit for that very purpose, so that we might forbear, so that we might accept, so that we might please others. But without the Spirit, we would also not know the eternal life to which we are appointed and which we anticipate, which we hope for. This is so not only because we already know eternal life through the Spirit of Christ, but also because the resurrected life itself is empowered by that very same Spirit who makes us make the good confession of Jesus Christ unto justification, allows us to live the new life in sanctification. So in resurrection, we will know glorification. When we're sown an earthly body, we're raised a heavenly body. When we're buried physically, we're raised to a spiritual body. And that's a body empowered by the very same Spirit that has already given us a foretaste of this new life by the endowment of the Father and the Son. He is the Spirit by which we are empowered to hope. He is the Spirit whose fullness is our hope. And we all need that hope. And to have that hope in abundance, or as our passage says, that it might overflow in us, that is most precious. We've come to see that again, particularly of late. We all need that overflowing abundance of hope. We've come to see that as families. And we've come to see that as a family of faith. Without that hope, without that Spirit, working that hope through His Word, we're devoid of it. It's remarkable how the Spirit will work that hope for us. We can know that hope through the Scripture that we read, which is why they were given to us. The Word is enduring and is designed to encourage so that people will trust, who trust the Word will endure and be encouraged in faith, in hope, and a Christ-like love to the praise of God. Others can hear the Word as it calls to them to be of encouragement to others in the family of faith. It may be by the proclamation of the Word through which this encouragement comes, but it may also be in the ways that you carry out the Word in the fashion of Christ, who came not to be pleased, but to please so His own may have hope. But in any of these ways, the Lord uses these means so that Jew or Gentile, God's people, might have their hope filled. So God will be praised in the process, and His people will be able to carry on in the faith of the Lord. These are ways that the Spirit seeks to bless His people. These are the ways that the Spirit uses His Word to build hope in people's lives. We trust the Holy Spirit as we do the Father and the Son, because along with the Father and the Son, He is the eternal God. We trust the Holy Spirit because where would we be without Him? We would be without faith in Christ unto justification. We wouldn't be right with God. And so we couldn't speak about the grace in which we now stand. We'd be without that love unto sanctification that is unto our great Savior, but also to the edification, the building up of other people in the faith and those around us. And we'd be without hope for that vision of glorification for ourselves and for those who have gone the way before us. we wouldn't have the hope in what would otherwise be hopeless times that the presence of the Spirit of God alone can give. We wouldn't know the hope that the endurance and encouragement of the Spirit-breathed Scriptures would give. We wouldn't have hope at all. And who can live without it? Nobody can. But through the Holy Spirit, we don't have to live without hope. We can live with it, and we can live with it in abundance as we hear the Word of God, as we hear the good news of Jesus Christ, as we respond to it in faith and love and hope. I pray that that'll be the trust that encourages you today as you hear the call to endure in the hope of the Scriptures and the hope of the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Father, may by the blessing of your Word and your Spirit, in all the ways that you use that Word to be of encouragement and endurance for your people, may it indeed breed and overflow with hope into the lives of your people by the power of your Spirit. Without hope, without God, life is vain. But with you and what you've done for Christ and how you open our eyes by your Spirit to what you have done and what you have in store and what you allow us to do today for the blessing of your people and the glory of your name, then we see where hope is found. Not in ourselves, not in our sin, not in our sinful self. No, we're left to hopelessness. Not with a mentality that says everything is occurring helter-skelter and without purpose and all by chance. Hardly. But Lord, by the vision of your Spirit through the Word of God, that we have known a reconciliation in Jesus Christ, that we have been empowered to serve our God in the love to which you've called us, and with the vision guaranteed by your Spirit of the hope that is ours in all those who knew you, all those who know you, and all those who will, by faith in Christ, again, by the power of your Spirit. And so, Lord, may we be encouraged to that end, so that even in hopeless times, seemingly, we may know the greater hope that is ours, that your Spirit empowers us to know, unto the glory of your name, through the work of Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray. Amen.